Hey, quick question. Jeffrey Dahmer versus Ted Bundy in a fight. Who you got?
Psycho killer.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Ninja Nerd Warrior podcast for September 27th, 2022. I am your host, Greg Hernandez, and that's an excellent question. Jeffrey Dahmer versus Ted Bundy, who do you got? I mean, Bundy's body count was like double Dahmer's, but Dahmer's movie was a lot more entertaining than Bundy's because that was boring as shit. So as you can tell, just like the rest of America, I watched the Jeffrey Dahmer series, and that was insane. But the thing was, you know how when you get into something and it makes you just keep going down the rabbit hole, and you, we've done it. We watch one video on YouTube, and next thing we know, it's like 3.5 days later. When I watched the Dahmer series, it made me want to contrast and compare with the Zac Efron Ted Bundy movie from 3 years ago, and that's what I ended up doing this week. But we'll get into that in a minute. Because I have some awesome news to tell you guys. I took my introductory flight with ATP Flight School last Friday. As I've mentioned on this show before, I'm working to get my commercial pilot's license. I would love to be a pilot for one of the airlines because that is sick. I think that'd be an amazing job. What other job can you have where you can be in LA, Denver, you can fly to Chicago and New York, and that is your work day? Where else can you do that? So I've decided that I'm going to get my commercial pilot's license, and I took my introductory flight this past Friday. That was insane. Now, I did have some friends who were concerned because they were asking, wait, they're going to let you fly a plane and you have zero training. Well, let me explain to you how this works. My instructor took off and he landed the plane. And those are pretty much the hard parts right there. While you're in the air, your biggest responsibility is don't die. And I've been not dying for, you know, my whole life. So I got that part down. That's not a problem. So I get there and I meet my instructor, super nice guy, a guy named Patrick. And I'm not gonna lie, the guy looked a little like Bradley Cooper. And I mean A-Team Bradley Cooper. I don't mean Wedding Crashers Bradley Cooper. Like, he's got the hair, and he's got, like, you know, it looks like he hasn't shaved in 2 days. Really cool guy. Now, he takes me out to the plane, and sure enough, it's a single-engine Cessna. It's like one of those Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, The Day the Music Died planes. It's one of those things. And we get in, and he's going through all of his pre-flight checks, and he's kind of walking me through everything. And sure enough, he takes off. We climb up to about 3,500 feet. So we're just, I mean, we're, for airplanes, we're barely off the ground. This is awesome. We're flying right above Bakersfield. And folks, North Bakersfield is kind of a shithole at ground level. I got to see it at 3,500 feet. That is a flaming dumpster fire. Holy shit. I mean, for any of you, anybody from Bakersfield, one word, Oildale. Yeah. That's where we flew over. That was, oh my God. So anyway, but it's exactly like I thought. The guy was going to take off. We were going to get up to our flight altitude. And then he just shows me, like, hey, here's the yoke. You want to go left, you turn left. You want to go right, you turn right. Pretty basic shit. There's some coordinating to do, you know, with the pedals on the bottom and shit. He didn't throw too much shit at me because, well, it's my first day. And this is the first time I've ever been in the front seat of a plane. I've been in the back several times. I've never been in the front seat. And he just does a real easy, just turn to the left, turn to the right. And he's telling me things like, well, you know, pay attention to the dashboard and make sure the horizon is parallel to the dashboard, because that's how you know the nose is level and you're not going to die. Just real, I mean, real, when you think about it, real basic common sense shit. Shit, I should have been able to figure out on my own, but he's telling me this. And then he tasks me, he says, hey, do you want to do a 45-degree bank turn? And I went, what's a 45-degree bank turn? And he jerks the controls over to the left, and now the wings are at a 45-degree angle to the horizon that he just told me to keep parallel. So this thing just takes this sharp-ass turn to the left, and my stomach dropped out of my ass. Oh, my God. And he's like, okay, as you can see, keep in mind, he hasn't leveled out. He's still talking to me. We're still doing this 45-degree bank turn, and he's talking to me like we're just having a beer. He's like, as you can see, the 45-degree bank turn is a lot sharper than a normal regular turn, and you can feel the G-forces. Meanwhile, I can feel the hand of God pressing on my skull, just flattening that bitch out. And he's like, okay, ready? Going the other way. 45-degree bank turn to the right, and we just take off the other way. I'm seriously about to vomit. Like, we are in a single-engine Cessna, and I swear this guy is doing some Blue Angel shit. At one point, I might have said, whoa, okay, calm down there, Maverick. Because he wasn't doing any crazy shit, okay? But keep in mind, this is my first time in the front seat of an airplane. So for me, I'm not used to this shit. He does this shit 4 or 5 times a day, and that's not a big thing. I'm sitting there going, oh, holy shit. He levels out, and then he says, okay, he instructed me on the ground, when I turn the aircraft over to you, I'm going to say your controls. Your response is my controls. Basically, I'm acknowledging that I'm taking control, and then he says your controls again, reaffirming that, yes, I have control of this plane. So we come out of the bank turn, and he says your controls. Put my hand on the controls, I say my controls. He says your controls. This is weird. This is really weird. And yeah, he just tells me keep the horizon level with the dashboard, so we know that we're you know, the nose is level. The whole time we're both wearing headphones, obviously, and I have air traffic control in my ears. I have air, which is weird because there's already a lot of voices in there to begin with. And so I'm trying to listen to him. I'm trying to listen to air traffic control. Didn't know I don't have to because, well, there's nothing out there. Like, there's an airspace where it's just nothing. That's where flight instructors take dipshit would-be pilots and, you know, take them out there so they don't hit anything. So I've got control of this plane, and he said, now, obviously, for anyone from Bakersfield knows, it's all farmland out here. Drive through the country, and it's just farm after farm after farm. See that shit from above, and it's seriously just grid lines. That's all it is. And he says, okay, keep it parallel with these grid lines. All right, keep it parallel. All right, turn to the right, go parallel with those grid lines. What now? Turn to the right. And I start to go to the left, because I'm a dumb shit. Correct, go to the right. All right, there we go. Now, what I didn't know was, unlike a car, when you make a right turn, you don't have to worry about the nose of the car going down. In a plane, you do. And he's like, pull it up. Oh, shit. Okay, so pull it up. Level that bitch out. All right. Parallel with the grid lines. All right, take it back to the left. This left, right? Okay. And then go back to the left. So I'm flying a fucking plane, folks. I am flying a fucking aircraft. And that's when it happened. That's when I almost screamed. I'm not going to lie. I almost screamed. Because there's a word in air travel. We all know the word. You don't realize it at the time until you hear the word turbulence. Now, I'm sure most of us have been in, you know, 747s traveling wherever. Turbulence, not that bad. Not that bad at all. Single engine Cessna, the plane dropped about 8 to 10 feet. Imagine just sitting in a chair right now, and all of a sudden the floor just drops out from underneath you. That's what turbulence feels like in a single engine plane. I thought we were going to die. I thought I did something and stalled the fucking engine, and we were going to die. The fucking plane drops 10 feet. And apparently, Patrick must have seen me just grab the controls really fucking hard, because he's going like, no, calm down. That happens. He's like, that's turbulence. But we're in a really small plane, so we feel everything. We're basically a dinghy in the sky. So I'm really glad that I didn't shit myself, because that would have been a really hard first impression to overcome. But yeah, so that was my first flight. And then he tells me, "You ready to go back?" Well, no, not really, but I do have to be to work, which I end up calling out of, because fuck those people. So we go back to the airport, and of course, Patrick, your controls. My controls, your controls. Yes, had to do that every time. And then I got to watch him land a plane. I didn't realize how scary that shit is, because, well, we came in, we are going in the wrong direction as the airport. This is things you don't think about. Not every flight goes parallel with the runway. We were actually coming in at like a 45 degree angle to the runway, and I'm going, I don't think we're gonna make it. And he just does this round off turn, comes, and then he's like, "Okay, see those lights down there?" No, it's 2 p.m. Like, I'm not seeing any fucking lights. And he's like, "There's 4 lights right there on the left of the runway. If you're coming in, if you're coming in right speed, right descent, you're coming in, 2 of the lights will be red, 2 of them will be white." Folks, I'm looking at the, I swear to God, there were 4 red lights the whole time. And I want to tell this guy, like, are those red or are those white? Because I swear those are 4 red lights, but I'm going to shut the fuck up, which is something I don't do enough of. That's something I should have learned to do a long time ago. But I did learn to shut the fuck up this time, because this dude does this all the time. But I swear the whole descent in, those lights were red. And he told me there should be 2 red and 2 white, and I never saw white lights. But plane landed, we didn't die, and that's a win. I am calling that a win. We did not launch pad but quack this motherfucker, so that's a good day. So, all right, folks, that is my first, that was my first flight, and hopefully I will be starting, hopefully, fingers crossed, I will be starting flight school by mid-October, hopefully late October at the latest. But I will keep you guys updated on that. That was fucking amazing. And yeah, it's great. I want to do it again. I want to do it again real soon. But all right. Anyway, the show I wanted to do for you guys, like I said, I did watch the hold on, I can do this. This is the most redundant title ever. Dahmer Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. Who the fuck named this? Who got to pick the title for this movie? Because I want to kick him in the nuts. Again, the whole title is Dahmer Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. The most ridiculous title for a movie ever. But anyway, this was great. Evan Peters has a black belt in creepy. You need somebody to be a creepy fuck. Evan Peters is your guy. We all know him from American Horror Stories. We know him from American Crime Stories. Like, this guy, I mean, he's a great actor. He is fantastic. And this movie starts. All right, I guess I should start here. Spoiler alert, because I'm going to spoil the shit out of this movie. But this should happen in real life. So I don't know if you can spoil a movie based on true events, but I don't want anybody bitching at me, so I'm going to say spoiler alert. Like Titanic. Folks, fucking ship was going to sink. There were still people pissed off that you gave away the ending of that movie, and I want to punch them in the neck every time. Anyway, spoiler alert, I'm going to talk about everything in this movie, pretty much. This movie starts out, I thought, okay, this was not linear. This was not Dahmer's a kid, Dahmer is an adult, Dahmer starts killing other adults. No, this starts with his last potential victim. Dahmer used to go to bars, and he would pick up men, he would take them back to the apartment, his apartment, he would drug them, kill them, and eat them. That was it's an oversimplification, but damn it, that's what happened 17 fucking times. This started with the last guy. Dahmer goes to this bar, this gay bar, picks up on this guy. He actually starts talking to these 3 guys at the bar, and he's Is it bad that Dahmer was very awkward, very socially awkward, but he flirts the way I've seen most guys flirt with women? Like, seriously, is this, I mean, this guy was going down in flames, but he just refused. He's talking to these three guys, and he's not even sure which one he's trying to pick up on. Basically, whoever's down, he's going to take home. I've seen this happen in many bars over in my lifetime. I laughed hysterically. That was another thing. I laughed a lot during this movie. And I don't know if I'm just a sick fuck, but a lot of this shit made me laugh hysterically. But he picks up on this guy, and he has this line, which is I've heard this line several times. He claims to be a photographer, and he wants this guy to go home with him from the bar to do a photo shoot. Do you have any idea how many times I've seen guys use the I'm a photographer line in bars? It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But anyway, that's how Dahmer gets this guy to go home with him. And they get home, and Dahmer's apartment looks like the apartment of a serial killer. Like, no exaggeration, no hyperbole. The fucking apartment looked like a serial killer's apartment. And Dahmer offers to pay the guy $50. They get home, or they get back to Dahmer's place, and Dahmer says, you know, I'll pay you $50. Locks the door as soon as the guy walks in. That right there. That is serial killer red flag shit. If you walk into a room and the person behind you closes and locks the door behind you, you better go into fight for your life mode. That's nothing good's happening after that. I'm sorry. And this guy's already kind of getting creeped the fuck out. Dahmer is trying to be like, well, let me make you a beer. Let me get you a beer. Let me do, you know. So Dahmer gets a beer. Dahmer puts the drug into the drink, pours the beer in, and the guy takes a drink but looks into the cup. Always look into the cup before you take the drink, because you can see Dahmer didn't even mix the fucking drug. It's floating on top. And the guy goes, what's this? What's floating in my drink? And Dahmer goes, it's just dish soap. Dahmer gets the guy into, the guy tries to leave, and Dahmer pulls out this like 9-inch fucking steak knife, butcher knife. I think it was fucking huge. That was a giant goddamn knife. And Dahmer's basically holding this guy hostage. They're watching movies, and Dahmer like starts like putting his hand on the guy's knee and holding hand like this is a fucking date. And this dude, oh my god, whoever this actor was, this dude, he sold me on the fact that he was fucking terrified. This dude did holy shit amazingly. There's a struggle. Dahmer tries to handcuff the guy, but he only gets it on one wrist. There's a struggle. I can't remember the guy gets free. The guy gets free, runs down the hall screaming, he's trying to kill me, trying to kill me. He gets out into the alley, and the cops see this guy. This is a black guy. And I will say, the moment you see this black guy running down the alley shirtless with one handcuff on his wrist and the cops stop him, I'm sorry, I thought, oh, cops are going to shoot him. Maybe that's just, I'm too jaded over shit I've seen over the year. My first thought was, cops are going to shoot this fucking guy, watch. But I'm shocked. Cops actually took his word for it. Anyway, he leads the cops back to Dahmer's apartment. Cops go in. Dahmer lets them in the apartment. They start looking around, and Dahmer has a 55-gallon drum in the corner of his bedroom. This is one of those big ass like chemical storage drums in his bedroom. There's bodies dissolving in that drum. Cops go in, and they're just like, what the fuck? I lost track of how many times I heard the question, what's that smell? Over and over again, the theme of this movie, because Dahmer killed these people in his apartment, and he let the bodies decay in the apartment. Oh my god, these poor people. Anyway, they start searching the apartment. They start going through shit, and they find a stack of Polaroids showing all of Dahmer's victims in various states of decay. And that's when they have him on the ground. They have him cuffed. And that's the first episode. Folks, that's where it starts. Oh my God. And from that point, that's when we jump back. Episode 2 was when we jump back and we see Dahmer as a kid. And we get to watch him grow up. We get to watch his parents were fucked up. And I don't mean like abusive, like treated him like shit fucked up. I mean like the mom was a pillhead. The dad was doing the best he could. But you could tell the dad was just like, I'm done. Like he's spending as much time with little Dahmer as he could, but he's so done. And I think like I said, the mom's a pillhead. She doesn't give a shit. At one point, they left Dahmer by himself for 3 months. He was like 17 years old. The dad takes off with his new girlfriend. The mom, I don't know where the mom was, but. That's when Dahmer actually commits his first murder. He's always driving up and down the street, and he sees this guy jogging shirtless up and down the street. And it gets Dahmer's attention, so Dahmer's checking him out. And at one point, he's driving down the street again, picks up this shirtless hitchhiker. The guy's like trying to hitchhike to a concert. Dahmer says, well, hey, why don't you come back to my house? We'll have a couple beers, we'll smoke some weed, and I'll take you to the concert. The guy's like, all right, cool. Takes him back to the house. They're drinking, they're smoking weed. Dahmer makes a move. The guy freaks out because this guy's not gay. Dahmer hits him with a dumbbell because Dahmer has a weight set. Dahmer hits him with a dumbbell, and that was Dahmer's first murder. And from that point on, that's when they show you the progression. Dahmer gets older, goes to college, flunks out of college, goes to the army, gets fucking kicked out of the army. Dahmer was basically a fuck up his entire life. But here's where this movie, this series got awesome, was they're showing you Dahmer being just a screw up, but they're showing you the parents. They're showing you the grandparents. They're kind of giving you a glimpse to this guy's home life. And there was nothing about his parents, his grandparents, there was nothing about his circle of friends, if you can call them that, that would tell you that this guy was gonna kill and eat 17 people 20 years later. There was nothing. But then what they did also was they introduced you to Dahmer's victims. And that's where this thing was great. Because let me ask you something. Who were Jack the Ripper's victims? Do you know them? Or do you notice there were 5 prostitutes? Is that it? What about the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez's victims? What about the BTK killer? What about his victims? Do you know anything? Bundy, do you know anything about their victims? No, you don't. So there's no connection to the people he killed. This movie introduced you to Dahmer's victims. You got to see them before they met Dahmer. You got to see them with their families. You got to see them going to school, going to work, living their lives. This movie gave you a connection to the people that Jeffrey Dahmer killed. And that was both brilliant and it was a punch in the soul. An absolute punch in the soul, because you saw these people, you connected with them, you knew. I mean, these were great, nice people. These were all people you could hang out with and be friends with. And so when they actually come in contact with Dahmer, you're like, oh God, no. This was genius. This movie was absolute genius, because the depiction of Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't this cold-hearted murderer. It wasn't. It was a guy who was seriously fucked up. It was a guy who was just... he didn't want to be alone. That was another thing. He didn't want to be alone. This was a guy who... I mean, I can't so much as sympathize with him as much as I can wrap my head around This is a guy who everybody left him. His mom picked up and left. His dad at some point picked up and left. His dad was still in the picture. His dad didn't abandon him. But think about it. His dad at one point left the mom, shacked up with the girlfriend. Everybody this guy cared about left. And one of the things Dahmer did was he would... Dahmer was a very smart guy. Dahmer had a science mind. He was a science nerd. And his dad taught him about like taxidermy and things like that. And that was his first experiments, was fucking cutting up and putting dead animals, roadkill, back together. And you actually see that Dahmer went to the army as an army medic. He actually came out as an army medic. So he had a mind for medicine, for medical science. One of the things Dahmer did was he would drill holes into the skull of his victims while they were alive. He would, was it hydrochloric acid? He poured hydrochloric acid into the brain cavity, and it was essentially lobotomizing them. They would walk around in this just total vacant trance-like zombie state because he didn't want them to leave. And when that didn't work, they died. Because you can't perform brain surgery in an unsterilized environment without having some complications. So, yeah, they fucking died. And so Dahmer had to get rid of the bodies, so he ate them. Don't think I'm making excuses for the fucking guy. I'm just doing what a shit ton of people have been trying to do for the last 20 years, and that was understand what the fuck happened. Why? Oh my god. Now, I will say, remember I told you I laughed a lot during this? Here's one of the times I laughed. He picks up this male, like, dancer at this club, and he can't take him back to his house because, well, his neighbors are getting wise to some shit. His neighbors, oh my god, the building, the entire building stunk for like a year. The tenants complained about the building, about the smell, for a year. Nobody did anything. Dahmer can't bring this male dancer back to his apartment. So what they did was he would pick these guys up at the bar. At one point, they were going to bathhouses. He got caught drugging guys at the bathhouses, so he got banned from the bathhouses. Which is never a sentence I thought I'd hear myself say out loud. So when he got banned from going to the bathhouses, he actually went to a hotel. He takes this backup dancer dude back to the hotel. He's mixing drinks. He drugs the drink. But this dumb shit drank the wrong drink. He drank the glass that he drugged. And I died. I laughed my ass off. This dumb shit puts Halcyon into one glass, mixes up a Jack and Coke. That fucked with me, because that's my favorite drink. You're telling me that I've been drinking the drink of choice of Jeffrey Dahmer for the last 20 years. That fucks with me just a little bit. Just a tiny bit. But he puts Halcyon in one drink. He mixes up two Jack and Cokes. Can't remember which one he drugged. He gives one to the guy, drinks the other one, and you just had this oh shit look on his face. I laughed my ass off. Oh my god, that shit. Oh. So here's what I want to know. They were very unspecific on this. He still kills this guy. Dahmer wakes up the next morning in his tidy whities, and the dancer is laying next to him, dead. Fucking dead. So I'm like, how the hell did Dahmer kill this guy while drugged on Halcyon? That's what I want to know. And I'm sitting here thinking like, oh shit, because my first thought, that room is in your name, dumb shit. How did you not get caught? And he goes and gets a giant, like, rolling suitcase. stuffs this guy's body in the suitcase. He's trying to zip it up. I will say there were some very subtle things in this series that turned your stomach if you caught them. You never saw Dahmer kill or dissect any of his victims, but you heard it. They had this. They did this great kind of subplot with his neighbor, with Dahmer's neighbor, Glenda Cleveland, played by Niecy Nash, who's fantastic. And you heard Dahmer commit these murders through her apartment. They get camera shots of her, and she could hear the murders being committed through the vents. She could smell the flesh decaying through her vents. She heard power tools in the middle of the night, so you knew that she was basically listening to Dahmer cut these people up. You never actually saw it, but what you did, you heard it. It was so subtle, and it was sickening if you knew what you were listening to. And this guy in the hotel room, it's real subtle. Dahmer stuffs his guy in the suitcase. He's zipping it up. He can't get the lid all the way. So he sits on the lid to get the suitcase zipped all the way up, and you can hear this faint sound of ribs breaking. It's, oh my God. It was amazing. The sound engineering was amazing. Let me be more specific. The sound engineering, because this, it made it visceral. It gave everything this impact that I've never seen in a true crime series before. And this series takes us through the rest of Dahmer's murders. And of course, we started the series with him getting arrested. We do get back to this, and then that's when the trial starts. And I'm not, you know, okay, folks, I'm old enough to remember when Dahmer got arrested. This fucker got arrested in 91. I was 91. I was junior high, maybe starting high school, depending on the time of year. I remember seeing this news story about this crazy white guy who got arrested in Milwaukee and them finding bodies in his apartment. I remember the news footage of cops or somebody in hazmat suits wheeling 55-gallon drums out of the hood. I remember these things being removed from the apartment building. I remember the news footage. I remember the trial. These things were recreated flawlessly. Oh my God. The sentencing hearing. I remember the sentencing hearing. There's this woman. All of Dahmer's family, the families of Dahmer's victims, got to give an impact statement at his sentencing. And there's this woman who rightfully loses her shit and just starts screaming, "Jeffrey Dahmer, I fucking hate you. Jeffrey, I fucking hate you." She's screaming. She is seriously about to have a full fucking just meltdown. I remember watching that on TV. And then they did interviews on like Hard Copy and Dateline, which two shows I'm not even sure exist anymore. But I remember watching those interviews. They recreated the interviews like flawlessly in this. I remember all of this. Let me say this. This is 10 episodes. So 10 one-hour episodes. Is it 45 minutes or an hour? They varied. Each episode was between 45 and like 56 minutes. Anyway, 10 episodes. I started watching this damn thing at like 10 o'clock at night. I binge watched the entire series until 7 o'clock the next morning. I could not turn this thing off. It was, oh my God, this thing is enthralling. So I would highly recommend this. And like I said before, this, once you get into a serial killer, like true crime mode, I remembered like, hey, wait, wasn't there a Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron few years ago? Because I remember a whole bunch of people freaking the fuck out. Oh my god, the cute little sweet dude from High School Musical is playing Ted Bundy. So I watched that movie. He was scarier in High School Musical. He really was. This movie was boring as shit. Another one. Fuck, what is the I can do the title of this movie. Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile is the title of the Ted Bundy movie with Zac Efron. What? Okay, please explain to me. I watched in 2 days, I watched two series with two of the longest fucking titles in existence. Holy shit. But because this movie was the absolute complete opposite of the Jeffrey Dahmer movie. This was boring as shit. Oh my god, this was boring. This was, oh ho. This whole thing was Ted Bundy in court. Bundy killed 30 people. You couldn't go more into the victims. This did the absolute opposite of what Dahmer's movie did. Dahmer's movie showed you the victims. It gave you a connection so that when this person was killed, it hit you like you actually knew this person. The Bundy movie, you don't see the victims before they're dead. Oh my god, it was boring as shit. And it was the whole time, it was Zac Efron basically denying everything. I didn't do these. I didn't do it. He got arrested in Ohio. I didn't do it. He got arrested in Seattle. I didn't do it. He got arrested for shit in Florida. And he just kept, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Bro, cops from 5 different states have arrested you for murder. I didn't do it only goes so far. This movie was a piece of shit. This movie was absolute piece of shit. And I can't even say this movie was a piece of shit compared to Dahmer's movie. Because if I'd watched this on its own, I'm really glad I didn't watch this back in 2019. I would have been pissed. Because I realized that the Dahmer movie was so good that this movie, there's no way it was going to hold up. There was no way Bundy's movie was going to hold up. No, this movie would have sucked back in 2019. Oh, it was so bad. Oh, another thing. I forgot. I didn't write any notes for this. I'm doing this completely off the top of my head, by the way, if you can't tell. Another thing I laughed at in the Dahmer movie. Dahmer is sitting down with his dad. This is after he's been arrested. Trial is about to begin. He's sitting down with his dad and his lawyer. And the lawyer is trying to convince Dahmer to enter a plea of not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. Or whatever Alexandria Cabot says on Law & Order SVU all the time. I don't know. Well, I can't remember the exact wording. But he's trying to enter that plea. And Dahmer keeps saying, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. But his lawyer is trying to get him to take this to plead not guilty by basically plead insanity. And they said, there was a case just like yours. And they start describing the Ed Gein case. Ed Gein was the Jeffrey Dahmer of like the 1950s. Ed Gein did the same thing, killed people, dissected them, fucking made like lamps and curtains out of their skin. I don't know how many people did Gein kill. I would look that up, but I'm horrible at show prep, so fuck it. But anyway, while the lawyer is describing this to Dahmer, you actually see footage. They actually went and shot footage of Ed Gein during this description. And I laughed. I laugh, and I'll tell you why in a second. Dahmer's series moves to like episode 8 or 9, where out of nowhere you're getting shots of Chicago in 1977, I think it was 77. And all of a sudden you see there's a guy who, hey, brings another guy into his house and then beats him with a frying pan, strangles him, drowns him. And then you find out that was John Wayne Gacy. So you're showing recreations of Ed Gein and John Wayne Gacy. And I laughed hysterically because I'm going, is this seasons 2 and 3? Are they giving us previews of like seasons to come? If Netflix does an Ed Gein series next year and a John Wayne Gacy the year after that, I'm going to come back and tell you all I told you so. That's going to happen. But where was I going with that? I don't remember. Anyway, the Ted Bundy movie compared to Dahmer was a piece of shit. Because, like I said, this was nothing. It was Bundy on trial. That's it. To the point where you could actually plausibly deny that Bundy did these things. They never showed you Bundy committing these crimes. They never hinted at the fact that he actually committed these crimes. So you could actually question whether or not the cops had the right guy. I mean, we all know the case. It's Ted Bundy. He fucking killed 30 women. So I know, you know, he's fucking guilty. But this movie didn't do the subject matter any favors. This movie was not engaging at all. It didn't draw me in. I honestly could care less about Ted Bundy or his victims by the end of this movie. So I was incredibly disappointed that I watched the entire Dahmer series on Thursday. Was it Thursday? No, Saturday. I watched on Saturday, came back on Sunday and watched the Bundy movie. And I went, I should have stopped at Dahmer. I really should have. So anyway, folks, definitely check out Dahmer. I would highly recommend it. I'm going to watch it again. I need to block off an entire day and just sit down and watch this entire series again. And fuck that Zac Efron Ted Bundy movie. That was a piece of shit. So, all right, folks, I'm going to wrap this up now. My name is Greg Hernandez. I am the Ninja Nerd Warrior. You can find me on all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. If you enjoy the show, please recommend it to your friends. You can find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can find me on Spotify and Amazon Music and Audible. You can go to the website itself, NinjaNerdWarriorPodcast.com. Like the podcast, subscribe it, give it 5 stars. I really appreciate it. With that, I am going to wrap this up. And it's October, isn't it? Yeah, it's almost October. What the fuck am I going to do for October? Oh, God. You're going to get a lot of horror movies in the next couple of weeks, folks. That's going to happen. So, all right, I'm going to wrap this shit up. I'll talk to you guys next time. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?